Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Morning, good morning. Fusion Church, 6 a.m. soap. How you feeling? How you doing right now? We're on day 3 of the Daniel fast. Are you guys doing all right? I know me, I've been dealing with some caffeine headaches. Because if you all know me, I love my caffeine. I love my coffee. And so, it's dealing with some caffeine headaches and whatnot. But you know what? God is going to be speaking to us. He's going to be moving in this time. He's going to be revealing new things to each and every one of us. So as we continue with this Daniel fast, and you're going to find that the soaps chapters during this period is all really dealing with fasting and prayer to help us stay focused on this. So today we're in Zechariah 7, and he's going to talk about fasting. He's going to talk about the right way and the wrong way of doing it. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to get into it. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Once again, Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have, Jesus, just to be in your presence, Father, to be amongst the company of fellow believers as we just read your word and learn new truths that you're trying to teach us, Father. Be with us during this time, Father. I pray that you would speak to us, Father, that it would be you that's heard and not me, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Zechariah 7, and I am reading from the New King James Version. Now, in the fourth year of King Darius, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, Chislev, when the people sent Sherezer the Regimelech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord, and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done so for many years? Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not also obey the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowland were inhabited? Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed and they would not hear, so they called out and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Amen and amen. All right. I don't got coffee today, but I got some tea because my throat is a little scratchy. All right. So the book of Zechariah is believed to have been written between 520 and 518 BC during what's called the post-exilic period. This was a time when the Jewish people had returned to Jerusalem from their Babylonian exile. You remember the Babylonians came in and had taken over and taken a whole bunch of people over to Babylon for a while, and then the Medes and Persians took over Babylon, and then the the king of the Medes and Persians allowed them to return to Jerusalem, and here they're working to rebuild the temple and to restore their community. Zechariah began prophesying in the second year of King Darius of Persia around 520 BC, and his ministry overlapped with the ministry of the prophet Haggai, who's another Old Testament prophet. The early chapters address many concerns like building the temples, and it includes visions that were meant to encourage the people as they were working to rebuild the temple. The last few chapters, 9 through 14, are some scholars believe they were written later and focus more on distant future events, including messianic prophecies, and the restoration of God's people. So Zechariah has his prophecies are have so much symbolism, but a lot of themes of hope and repentance, and as well of the coming Messiah, of Jesus, who would eventually come. In verse one, it says, "In the fourth year," and it says, "On the fourth day of the ninth month." Okay, so on December 4th, 518 BC. Okay, through the Bible, we're able to really decipher exactly when this took place. A delegation came to Jerusalem with a question about fasting. Now, at this point, the temple was nowhere near being close to being completed. And they asked, "Should I weep in the fifth month and fast?" The fast in the fifth month commemorated the destruction of the temple that happened in 2 Kings 25, verses 8 through 9. And he also mentioned the month in the seventh fast, which remembered a murder that took place back in the day. And this was the last act of rebellion against the Babylonian governor of Judah. The law of Moses commanded that on the Day of Atonement, the people of Israel, it says, it should they should afflict their souls according to Leviticus 16. And while the text in Leviticus doesn't specifically say they should fast, it was long understood by Jewish teachers and scholars as a command for the Jews to fast on this Day of Atonement. But in addition to this, during the time when the Jewish people were being held in exile in Babylon, they instituted more fasts to remember the dates of tragic events in their nation, right? So in the 17th day of the fourth month, they had a fast to mourn the capture of Jerusalem. You could read about that in Jeremiah 52, 6 through 30. In the ninth day of the fifth month, the burning of Jerusalem and the destruction of Solomon's temple, they held a fast. 2 Kings 25, 2 through 10. And the third day of the seventh month was the assassination of Gedaliah that I just mentioned, and the massacre of his men, read about in Jeremiah 41. And finally, in the 10th day of the 10th month, they held a fast to recognize the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's siege against Jerusalem. All right. And Psalm 137 beautifully and powerfully described the sadness of the heart that made the exiles remember their sin and such tragedies with these additional days of fasting. It says to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord. These men knew that during their forced exile in Babylon, they observed these fasts that commemorated the tragic fall of Jerusalem. Now, since God's people were back in the land and the temple was being rebuilt, they wanted to know if it was okay or appropriate to continue to observe these fasts. And the matter, this matter brings up an issue that's relevant even today. How long should we mourn and remember things that happened in our past? Should we do things to remember either our sin or the tragedies of the past? You know, a lot of people, when you know, a lot of us, when we go through a hard time, we have something horrible happens, you know, we do things to remember that. But should we be continually remembering that? You know, should we continue to have things just to bring to remembrance? Like, we're always going to remember. Right, but it should should that remembering have such a significant place in our life? You know, these additional fasts that the Jewish people were doing, they were not commanded by God, but they were instituted by man. But since they were practiced for so long, at least during the 70 years of the exile, they developed a legitimacy of their own. You know, so these people, they thought, we've done this for so many years, we might as well keep doing it, even though it was something that was not commanded by God. And so Zechariah gets a word from the Lord, and the Lord says, did you really fast for me? For me? You know, whenever in the Bible, anytime something's repeated, pay attention. Okay, there's something important. God's word through Zechariah rebuked the people of God for what their fasting had become. Their fasting had become an indulgent season of self-pity instead of a time to genuinely seek God. Their lives were not right when they did eat and drink. They did that for themselves, not for the Lord. A few days of fasting every year doesn't make up for the rest of the year of living for yourselves. This also shows that when we cling to the memory of sin or the memory of a tragedy in the past, we may do it out of a simple self-indulgent. We're doing it for ourselves, not for the Lord. During this time of prayer and fasting, what is your purpose for fasting during this time? Is it just because that we as a church are doing a 21-day Daniel fast and I just want to be a part of the group? Or are you truly taking this as a time to seek the Lord? Are you truly taking this as a time to get closer to God? Are you truly removing things from your life, the things that we're eating? Some of us are doing social media and what have you. Are you removing those things so you can make more room for God? Or are you just doing it so you can say that you did it and say that you were part of? So that you can say, oh, I fasted all this stuff. Look at me, look at me. Because that's what the Jewish people were doing. They were fasting and they were just trying to really seek recognition for themselves. Verse 7, should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed? Because their hearts were not right with God, their rituals were not acceptable to God. Fasting is a ritual that we do. But if your heart is not right with God, fasting means nothing. We're just doing it to do it, to do it. We're wasting time. Your heart must be right with God. Everyday obedience would make their times of fasting meaningful, but their neglect of everyday obedience made their fasting hypocritical. This needs to be something, brothers and sisters, that we don't just do in the beginning of the year every year. We need to be right with God 365, 24/7. So that when we come to the Lord with fasting and prayer, it's done with a right heart. Instead of actively remembering the sin or the tragedy of the past, God wants us to focus on active obedience and an active walk with Him. There's no need to observe sad anniversaries of our sins and the punishment that came afterwards. Because if once we are assured of God's free forgiveness, we're forgiven. When He forgives, He restores. The need for the dwelling on the bitter past is over. Too many of us are always dwelling on the past. Too many of us are doing things like fasting and prayer, and we're viewing it almost as a punishment for the things of the past when we've already been forgiven. We've already been forgiven. That's not what fasting is for. Because there are people in the Bible who were doing it to punish themselves. That's not what God called us to do it for. We're called to fast, to be closer to Him. Brothers and sisters, fasting is really, really simple. It's really simple. It is just a tool to be that we can use to be closer to the Lord, to get closer to Him, to hear Him more clearly. I promise you, brothers and sisters, as we're getting further and further along in the fast, the longer that you withhold from food, from the caffeine, the sugars, the social media, whatever it is, the easier and the more clearly you're going to begin to hear the Lord. If you take this seriously, now don't take this like, so legalistic that if I don't do it this way, I'm going to be in trouble. It's not like if you go through 20 days of fasting and on day 21, you mess up. Now God's like, sorry, start over. I can't help you now. No, God knows your heart. God has grace for us. Just pick up and keep going. Keep going and truly seek the Lord. And here's another thing. Don't just seek the Lord to get answers for something. Don't just seek the Lord to get something. Seek the Lord because He's the Lord. Seek God because He's God. Seek Him because He's our Savior. He's our Father. He's the creator of all heaven and earth, and He wants to be in relationship with you. Fasting simply removes the junk from our lives, so it's easier for us to be close to Him and be easier for us to hear Him. It says, through the former prophets, when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, if their ancestors had been obedient, they would have never needed to fast, and their land wouldn't have been conquered and desolate. It talks about the south and the lowlands. Here, the south refers to the land called the Negev. It's a desolate desert area near the Dead Sea, but this area wasn't always desolate. Before Israel's disobedient, it too was a prosperous and inhabited region. But their sin came in and made the land desolate. Verse 9, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion. In verse 7, the prophet Zechariah rebuked the people of God and their ancestors for a basic neglect of obedience. But next, Zechariah described the kind of obedience that God wanted, beginning with decent and loving treatment of their neighbor. Verse 10, let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. Some among the people of God found it easier to fast a few days a year instead of truly treating others in a godly way. And so their bad relationships with others demonstrated a fundamentally bad relationship with the Lord. Listen, brothers and sisters, if you're living in a bad way the entire year and think that just by fasting for 21 days in the beginning of the year is going to kind of be the reset that you're looking for, I'm telling you, I hate to be the one, the bearer of bad news, but it doesn't work like that. We need to live a life that's holy and pleasing unto the Lord. Now, again, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up. We all sin, right? Jesus is the only one who's perfect. But it's your heart. It's your heart that He's looking at. So you can go through the entire year and you're going to mess up here and there. You're going to do things that are wrong here and there, and that's fine. You ask for forgiveness and you move on. But if you think you can go the entire year and just doing your dirt, right? And need I say any more? You're doing your dirt, and then beginning of the year, you're just gonna pray and okay, God, forgive me. Now I'm gonna do 21 days of fasting, and the Lord's gonna speak to me. You've made it into just a ritual. And this is more than just a ritual. Right, this is a divine practice that we can do to be closer to God. Verse 11, it says, refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears. Verse 12, made their hearts like flint. Zechariah vividly describes a progression of rejection. It began with simply refusing to heed God. Then a self-justifying shrugging of their shoulders, kind of like, All right, okay. Then they stop their ears. They refuse to hear the word of the Lord, and it all ends with their hearts being hard as flint. When you meet people with hearts like flint, you know that they did not become that way overnight. There was a gradual progression to their present place of hardness. It says, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit through the former prophets. In their hardened state, they just didn't want to hear God's word. When we lose our hunger for God's word, it's a sobering evidence of the progression of rejection and hardness of heart. Zechariah didn't doubt that the Spirit of God genuinely inspired his words and the words of the other prophets, but he also recognized that the people had hardened their hearts to the words of the prophets, hardened their hearts. They didn't want to hear what the prophets were saying. And because of that, all those years prior to this, eventually they were sent into exile. They were taken captive, and Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. Verse 13, just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen. Since God's people refused to listen to him, God would refuse to listen to and answer their prayers. This is just another good reason to stay under the teaching of God's word so that our prayers will be answered. You know, if you refuse to listen to the Lord, you refuse to spend time in prayer, you refuse to read the Word of God, and then you only go to God when you want something, you ain't gonna get it, right? It's not gonna happen. And then you're gonna question God. God, I prayed. God, why didn't you? And you're gonna bad mouth God, man, I prayed for that. I prayed for that, and the Lord didn't answer my prayer. I asked for this, that, and the other thing, and God didn't answer my prayer. Well, was that the first time this year you've prayed? Is it the first time this year you've truly sought the Lord? Come on. We're selfish when we have that mentality, because we think that God is just our genie, and every once in a while we can just rub that little lamp and God's just gonna just make things happen. God don't work that way, okay? God does not operate on our timetable. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So it is so vitally important that we are continually in the Word of God. We are continually in prayer, that this fasting that we do, you know, corporately as a church in the beginning of the year, is something that we do throughout the year on our own. Pastor Brennan this past weekend talked about times during the year when he fasts. No one knows about that. There are times during the year that I fast. No one knows about that. It's between me and God. And I'll share it with, you know, I'm with my wife and a few others to hold me accountable, but it needs to be a practice throughout the year, a practice in our lives that we do all the time. If you truly want to hear the Lord, you truly want to hear from him, brothers and sisters, this is something that we need to take seriously. Verse 14, I scatter them with a whirlwind. This refers to the swift victories and the cruel conduct of the Chaldeans during the Jews. They had come on the Jews like a whirlwind, and they just destroyed them, you know, and the people were scattered everywhere. Thus, the land became desolate after them, is how this chapter ends. Their disobedience and disregard for God led to scattering and desolation. And this is always our fate when we allow religious rituals to take the place of a real relationship and daily obedience towards God. Do not look at fasting as just a ritual we have to do. Because if you look at it like that, you are missing the entire point. and you're going to get to the end of these 21 days, and you're going to be like some people are like, well, I did it, and God didn't speak to me. Well, I did it, and God didn't move. Well, I did it, I didn't hear from the Lord. I did it, I wasn't healed. I did it, I didn't have that financial breakthrough. I did it, I didn't get a new car. I did it, I still got that job with that horrible boss. I did it, I did it, I did it, and nothing happened. And you're going to be angry with the Lord because you just saw it as a ritual. The children of Israel were in this during their time of exile. They added fasts and they made them mandatory. Right? I don't know about you, but for me, when someone tells me I have to do something, I have a hard time with that. Okay? Maybe that's the flesh that I still struggle. That's the freedom issue I still struggle with. Right? But my point is, the people of Israel, they were doing something out of obligation, not out of a desire to get closer to God. So Zechariah 7 is a powerful reminder of the importance of genuine worship, sincere obedience, and having a heart that's aligned with God's will. So what else can we learn? What can we learn from this chapter? Rituals are meaningless unless you have a sincere heart going along with that. God challenges the people to examine the motives behind their fasting. Their religious rituals had become self-centered rather than God-centered. Verse 5 said, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and 7 months for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? That's God. That's the words of the Lord. Was it me that you fasted? Was it for me? Or were you fasting for yourself? Worship and spiritual practices should be acts of love and devotion to God, not empty traditions and attempts just to earn God's favor. This chapter also talks about avoiding hardened hearts. Previous generations had ignored God's prophets, leading to judgment and exile. And God is warning this current generation not to repeat this mistake. That's a lesson for us, right? Okay, because we have previous generations as well who saw all these things as just a ritual we had to do, and it hardened their hearts. A hard heart leads to spiritual ruin. How many people do we know who have left the church with a hard heart and they blame everything and everybody. But when you really begin to peel back the onion, you realize they were doing things out of obligation. They were doing things out of empty ritual. A hard heart leads to spiritual ruin. We must remain open and obedient to God's word and to God's spirit. This chapter also teaches us that God values relationship over ritual. The question about fasting in the beginning in verse 3 is met with a deeper question about the heart behind their actions. God prioritizes a genuine relationship with him over religious observance. God wants our hearts, not just external actions. True worship flows from a deep personal connection with him. And finally, another lesson: fasting and worship should reflect inner transformation. Fasting had become an empty ritual for the Israelites, disconnected from a lifestyle of justice and mercy. Our own spiritual practices should reflect inner transformation and alignment with God's will. So, how can we apply all this today? And I'm going to close here. Regularly examine your motives in worship and service. Are you seeking to glorify God, or are you just seeking to satisfy your personal desires? Actively practice justice and kindness and compassion in your daily life. Keep your heart open to God's word and to God's Spirit, responding to his guidance with obedience. Learn from the past and strive to grow spiritually through humility and repentance. And finally, focus on a deep and genuine relationship with God, over and above and beyond any outward religious practices. Listen, brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, God just wants to be in relationship with you. He wants you to know him better. He wants to speak to you. He wants you to speak to him. He loves you and adores you. He's looking down upon each and every one of us with just love in his heart. And what he desires is that when we get up out of bed in the morning, we open up our eyes, the first thing we do is look to him with the same love, with the same adoration. Come on, brothers and sisters. That is something that all of us can get behind. Don't look at this fast as just ritual. That's something we just have to do. That's an obligation once a year. No, look at it as something that we can use to get closer to him. Make sure your hearts are doing it right. And for some of us, we may need to check ourselves daily. You know what I'm saying? Daily. Like, Lord, I am doing this for you. Lord, I want to be close to you. Lord, I am refusing what I want. I'm refusing my desires. Because that's just a distraction. Food is a distraction. Social media is a distraction. And throughout the whole rest of the year, it distracts us from truly being close to him. But during this time, God, I'm removing all that to be close to you. And Lord, I'm going to do my best throughout the year to do fasting and prayer so that I am constantly getting closer and closer and closer to you because I want to know you more. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you for your word from Zechariah, Lord. That's just a reminder of the real reason why we pray and fast. I pray that we will not look at it as just a ritual, a thing that we have to do. Father, that we will look at it as a way to get closer to you, to more clearly hear your voice, to clearly feel when you're guiding us and moving us, Jesus. Because Father, we just want to be close to you, Lord. Thank you for your word. I pray for my brothers and sisters on this call, Lord God, and everyone else listening later on the podcast on YouTube, Jesus, that you would just bless them, keep them, Lord God. Remind them as well, Lord, that fasting is a tool to be closer to you. That's as simple as I can break it down. Father, we praise you for what you're doing, Lord God. I pray for everyone that they would just continue on this path of fasting with the right heart, the right mind towards it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. All right, brothers and sisters, I love y'all, and I will see you again next week. God bless.